I'll just read it to you. He left the splendor of heaven, knowing his destiny was the lonely hill of Golgotha, there to lay down his life for me. Even in death, he remembered the thief hanging by his side. Then he spoke of love and compassion, and he took him to paradise. And if that isn't love, then the ocean is dry, there's no stars in the sky, and the little sparrow can't fly. Yea, if that isn't love, then heaven's a myth. There's no feeling like this if that isn't love. The love of God is so vast. How deep the Father's love for us, how vast beyond all measure, that he would give his only Son to make a wretch his treasure. How great the pain of searing loss. The Father turns his face away as wounds which mar the chosen one bring many sons to glory. Behold the man upon a cross, my guilt upon his shoulders. Ashamed, I hear my mocking voice call out among the scoffers. It was my sin that held him there until it was accomplished. His dying breath has brought me life. I know that it is finished. I will not boast in anything, no gifts, no powers, no wisdom, but I will boast in Jesus Christ, his death and resurrection. Why should I gain from his reward? I cannot give an answer. But this I know with all my heart, his wounds have paid my ransom. Blessed be his wonderful name. I'm going to invite you, if you have your Bible, to take it in your hand, and we'll say together this verse, please. This is my Bible. I am what it says I am. I have what it says I have. I can do what it says I can do. Today I will be taught the Word of God. I boldly confess, my mind is alert, my heart is receptive. I will never be the same. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. The title of my message this morning is Getting to Know the Law. Getting to Know the Law. It's good to know the law. If I am not aware of the law of the land, and I were to exceed the speed limit, which is very unlikely for me. Thank you. I would have to suffer the consequences. If I commit murder, I would suffer the consequences because of the law of the land. And I would suggest this morning that we probably all agree that it's good to know and obey the law of the land. There's not only the law of the land, there's the law of mathematics. I have been so thrilled in life to have been taught when I was a child that 2 + 2 = 4. And I can do that on my fingers. I even advanced to know that 4 plus 4 is 8. And it never changes. It's a law of mathematics that 2 and 2 is 4. It will never be 5. So it's good to know the laws of mathematics. There are the laws of physics. Now, I unfortunately didn't do science at school, and that wasn't my choice. But Sir Isaac Newton brought some wonderful truth to light when he saw an apple fall from a tree, or so the legend says. And he discovered that there was something called gravity. And most of us are aware of gravity, sometimes to our peril. If you want to know how severe it is, you talk to Pastor John Gorn, who tried jumping out of a second floor window. And he found the force of gravity was so great that he broke every bone in both feet. The law of gravity doesn't change. I've only once ever been to a rifle range, which was very kindly arranged by our church for the men to go. And so I know very little about guns. Very, very little. But I know that there are some guns that have what they call a compensator. Because when a bullet comes out of a gun, there are two facts. One is that once it's gone, you cannot get it back. Now that's the simple one. So you have to be careful. And another fact is that the law of gravity will affect that bullet. And I believe that there are some guns that you can adjust a compensator according to the distance of your target. Because if there is no target, the bullet comes out of a gun and it will eventually obey the law of gravity and hit the ground. And so you can adjust the compensator so that the bullet goes up as much as gravity would bring it down by the time it gets to the target. And that's what they call, I believe, a compensator. But gravity is still there. Now, can you imagine someone who has been to the rifle range? He's set his compensator, say, to 500 yards. He's got it all set up. He's had a marvelous couple of hours getting the target time after time after time, bullseye. He said, I've enjoyed this so much, I will come back next week and have another go. And he walks out of the rifle range and he's praying, God, please, please do not alter the force of gravity before next week because I've set my compensator. Wouldn't that be a stupid prayer to pray? But yet that's how some Christians work. God, please don't alter the laws of the kingdom. There are laws that are set for the nation, for mathematics, for physics, for gravity. And the Bible talks about the law of sin and death and the law of the Spirit of life. If you turn with me to the book of Romans, and chapter 8, I want to read verses 13 and 14. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the body, the deeds of the body, you will live. There is life or death. He says in Romans chapter 3, which I will use as a foundation for this morning. Romans chapter 3 and verse 27. Where is boasting? It is excluded. By what law? Of works? No. But by the law of faith. Therefore we conclude that a man is justified by faith apart from the deeds of the law. Romans 8:2 would back that up by saying, Romans 8:2, for the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. I hope in the heat this morning that you can come with me on this little journey that we're going to have together and realize that there are two laws. The law of the Spirit of life and the law of sin and death. Perhaps someone would open a window for us. Just have a little bit of air moving, please. I realize that this is the hot spot. For faith to work in our life, then we must understand spiritual laws. If you want your faith to work, you have to understand there are laws. And I would add to that, that if you obey the spiritual laws, faith always works. I've proved that in the past 70 years, that faith always works. But you have to obey the spiritual laws. This morning, I'm just simply laying a foundation for you to take home with you the fact that there are laws that must be obeyed if you want your faith to work. You will obey the laws of the land. You will accept the laws of physics. You will accept the laws of mathematics. You will accept the law of gravity. And there are laws of sin and death. Ezekiel and chapter 18, I'll read it so that I don't misquote it. Ezekiel chapter 18 and verse 20 says these words, "The soul that sinneth shall die." That is a law of sin and death. "The son shall not bear the guilt of the father, nor the father bear the guilt of the son. The righteousness of the righteous shall be upon himself, and the wickedness of the wicked shall be upon himself." And it's beautiful how that verse, although it's in the old covenant, it continues to say, "But if a wicked man turns," today we would say repents, "if a wicked man turns from all his sins which he has committed, keeps all my statutes, and does what is lawful and right, he shall surely live, he shall not die." The laws of sin and death. The soul that sinneth, it shall die. Romans 6 and verse 23 would also confirm that. A well-known verse to so many. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. A law of the spirit of sin and death. The wages of sin is death. But there is the laws of the spirit of life. Romans 10 and 9 is a favorite verse of mine, which says that if thou confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thy heart that God hath raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Not you might. It's a law of the spirit of life. You have to believe in your heart, not in your head. It doesn't say that if you believe with your head, that if you think so, you believe in your heart. The word heart and the word spirit in Scripture are interchangeable. It means in your spirit. The heart, the center of your whole being, the center of your life. If you believe in your heart that God hath raised him from the dead, and you confess with the mouth, make confession. Some people say that you can be a secret disciple. I don't find that in Scripture. Everybody Jesus called to follow him, he called them publicly. He said, come, follow me. And I believe that people are called publicly. And you cannot keep a truth like this a secret in your life. It will out. Hallelujah. I am a new creation. Blessed be his name. Because of the law of the Spirit of life. And this law will work for whosoever will. It doesn't just work for the bishops and for the pastors and for the evangelists. It will work for whosoever will. And you don't need me to tell you that you are included in whosoever. Faith will work. 1 John 5:4. Says, for whoever is born of God overcomes the world. Are you an overcomer this morning? You should be if you're born of God. Whoever is born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that overcomes the world, our faith. Hallelujah. Faith always wins. You might have a test or two on the way, but for every test, you get a testimony. Hallelujah. And if you fail the test, you'll get another test. Until you pass it. I learned that in school. And it works in life, throughout life. You will get tested. You need to pass the test. And your faith will work. Mark 11:22 is one of my favorite passages. Beautiful chapter is Mark 11. Mark 11:22 says, have faith in God. Here Jesus is saying to the people, Let me just allow me to paraphrase this. If he were here now, he would quite possibly say to you, here is a tray of Anne's lovely cakes or biscuits. Have one. Have one. What do? You either reach out and take one, or you go without. Jesus said, here is faith. Have faith in God. Take it. It's God's faith. I want you to take it into yourself. Have the faith of God in you. So that you don't need to doubt. Take it. Have a cookie. Have faith in God. Jesus answered and said to them, have faith in God. For assuredly, I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, not thinks, not whispers, whoever says to this mountain, be thou removed and cast into the sea. Here's another law, and does not doubt in his heart. Okay, so long as we obey the laws, we will get the desired results. Whoever says to this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that those things he says, not thinks, those things he says shall come to pass. Therefore I say to you that whatsoever you ask when you pray, believe that you receive and you will have. That's what my Bible says. Whatsoever you ask him when you pray, believe that you receive and you will have. Hallelujah. We are not governed by our five senses. I have already preached on the spirit of the flesh, which is the five senses, from the book of Romans. We're not relying on our five senses. We are to walk in the Spirit, connected to God's Spirit, and live by faith. Everything Jesus did, he did by faith. Some people say, but he was God. He was God. My Bible says that he was the Son of Man when he was on earth. The only time he was the Son of God was when he was on the cross, bearing my sin, because he was the sinless one. When he walked this earth, he was the Son of Man. He was the sinless one, the spotless one, but he walked by faith. And when people got healed, it was by faith. Jesus said, your faith has made you whole. Go and be well. Faith will work for whosoever will. Go back to Romans 12:3. It will confirm that. Romans 12:3 says, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. For I say, through the grace given to me, to everyone who is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, as God dealt to each one a measure of faith. King James Version says, God dealt to each one the measure of faith. If you've been born again, you have been dealt the measure of faith. What are you doing with it today? Are you walking by faith or you're walking by doubt? As I said, I have visited the hospital many times this week as a visitor, and it is very discouraging to hear all the conversation about palliative care. Now, I know they do a great work, and I'm not criticizing them in the least, don't misunderstand me, but they are speaking, humanly speaking. But as far as God is concerned, Jesus took our sickness in his body on the cross. And the Bible says, by his stripes I am healed. And if sickness attacks me, I remind it that it has no right to come and cannot abide in the temple of the Holy Ghost. It is an illegal squatter. And greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. And I take authority over it. And this morning, I want to call the believers to take authority over the powers of darkness. God has dealt to each one a measure of faith. And the more you work your muscles, the stronger your muscles will become. The more you work your faith, the stronger your faith will become. I started doing a little at once. Some of you have heard me tell of the occasion many, many, many years ago when I was at a different church, and one of the congregation was very, very sick. She had what was termed as an incurable sickness. And so I went round to visit that house. Not that I was a pastor then, but just because they were friends. And the husband was the leader of the adult Bible class in Sunday school. Because at Sunday school time then we used to have one for the mature people. And I went to visit it. And as I was going to visit them, I sensed in my spirit, in my heart. I didn't hear something through the ear, not through my senses, but my gut feeling. Have you ever had a gut feeling thinking, I ought to do that? I think I should be doing it. Well, I got that gut feeling that I should make a very generous donation to that house and that I should give them £5. And I argued with the Lord all the way. I said I could take pleasure in giving them £50 or £100. I'm talking maybe 25 years ago at least. The Lord said to me, I want you to give them £5. And I admit I was greatly embarrassed at that command from the Lord. I went to that house. I chatted with them. I outstayed my welcome because I didn't know how to leave. And when I was leaving the house, I was on the doorstep, half in the dark, and I had a £5 note that by this time it was screwed up so small because of the amount of times it had been round in my hand. And as I shook hands, I slapped this £5 note into his hand, so embarrassed, and just disappeared. Because I felt that God was calling me to do it. I never thought about that anymore. As the days went by, I got over the embarrassment. Nothing was ever said. And I don't know whether it might have been 6 months later. It might even have been 12 months later. I was having a chat with another friend, and they were rehearsing to me that they had been in the adult class last Sunday, and I hadn't been there, and that John, none of you will know this John, that was leading it, that I had been to see a year earlier, was telling them that there had been an occasion in his life. This person didn't know anything about my screwed up £5 note. There had been an occasion in his life when he had a bill to pay of £50. And he didn't have £50. And he saved, and he saved, and he got, he told them, he said he got to the night before, and I had £45. He said, and someone came to the house late the night before and gave me that £5 that paid the bill. And I thought, you don't know how it thrilled my heart to know that I had been a link in the chain. Nobody else knew, only me and John. But faith works when the just shall live by faith. We believe what is right. We believe what we ought to do. Just yesterday I was listening to a wonderful preacher on the Christian Channel. I know the Christian Channel does get a little bit of criticism from time to time, but I get blessed more from the Christian Channel than I ever would from the secular channels. And I was listening to a preacher yesterday on the Christian Channel, and he was telling me of an occasion, again, he said it was many years ago, when he had a big car, but an unreliable car. And his funds at that time were very, very sparse. And he said that they had to go on this journey to, I don't know, to see family or relations in the USA he was, and he had to go into the next state. And he was hoping that the car would just stay in one piece long enough to get them back home. He said, for once, it was an unusual thing. He'd fill the tank up to the top with fuel, so that he knew that he had fuel to get there and back. He said, we visited our relations, and we set off on the journey home. He said, it was quite late in the evening. He said, we're going across the state boundary at something like 2 o'clock in the morning. And he said, all of a sudden, he said, there's a terrific bang under the car. He said, I must have run over something that I hadn't seen. He said, it bounced up, hit under the car. And he said, I thought, whatever was that? He said, it woke my wife up. And she said, what was that? He said, I don't know. But we're still going. He said, I think everything's going to be okay. And he looked at the fuel gauge, and he saw the fuel gauge. It was going, 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 half, two-thirds, quarter, one-eighth. Poof. And they landed on the hard shoulder at the side. 2 o'clock in the morning. No traffic about. No fuel. And apparently, a leak in the fuel tank. What do I do? Well, he wasn't going to set off walking because he didn't know whether the nearest habitation was in front of them or behind them. What do? I pray. And then I watch in my mirror to see if anyone's coming. And I waited and I watched and I watched. He said, and eventually I saw some headlights in my rearview mirror. So I got out a flashlight. I got out of the car He said, and I stood on the side of the road and I waved the flashlight. He said, and this large pickup truck drew in behind us, pulled over. And a big man got out of the pickup truck. And he said, have you got problems? He said, yes. He said, I have. He said, I've got a leak. I've lost all my fuel. And I've no fuel. Can you take me for some fuel at 2 o'clock in the morning? And the man said, that's why I'm here. That's what I've come for. He said, what do you mean? He said, that's what I've come for. He said, I've got a rope in the back. He said, I'll hook you to the back of my pickup truck. And he towed them down the road. A little way down the road, he turned off onto the side, onto a little old shack of a garage. It was all in darkness. All the shutters were down. And he pulled onto the front of this garage, got out of his pickup truck, took a key out of his pocket, unlocked the door, went inside, lifted the roller shutter door. They both wheeled the car inside the garage. The big man got underneath and he repaired the fuel tank, put it back together, pushed it outside to the petrol pump and filled the tank right to the top with fuel. There, you've no leak. You're full of fuel on your way. He said, what do I owe you? He said, you don't owe me anything. That's what I'm here for. He said, you're sure? You're sure? He said, I was hoping you wouldn't ask for much because I didn't have much. He said, are you sure? That's what I'm here for. Waved bye, went home. About 6 months later, that preacher had need to go down that highway to take an appointment. And so he said, I'm going to go with some reward in my pocket and reward that man at the garage. So as he got to the place where the little garage was, he found it. Yes, this is the place. I recognize it. He pulled over. The shutters were down. All was in dark. Nothing was going on. Middle of the day. So he pulled onto the forecourt. He went to the cafe next door. He said to the proprietor of the cafe, he said, can you tell me where I would find the man, the proprietor of the garage next door? He said, the garage next door has been closed for years. He said, I don't know who owns it. He said, it is never used. The preacher said, oh, yes, it is. He said, a man towed me in one night, 2 o'clock in the morning. He took a key out of his pocket. He unlocked the garage. He put in my car. He repaired it. And he filled it up with fuel. He said, there has never been fuel in those pumps for years and years that I've been here. You believe in angels? He said to the man, if you remember, that's the reason I'm here. The just shall live by faith. I tell you, my God is never a disappointment. He's never a disappointment. The just shall live by faith. Romans 10 tells us that faith is waiting in the heart or in the spirit for the word. If you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. The word is near you, in your mouth. Is the word in your mouth? Faith cometh by hearing, the Bible says. Now, it does not say that faith cometh by having heard. Faith cometh by hearing. And that's why we read together out loud, because faith comes by hearing. It goes through the ear gate as well as the eye gate. It does not come by having heard. Hebrews, and is it chapter 11? Says, yes, 11 verse 1. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. It is now faith. Now. When is now? When is it? You can't have a now yesterday. And you cannot have a now tomorrow. Now, faith is now. Have faith in God. Now. 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 This is your now. Have faith in God. Hebrews 11:1 always starts with now. Faith is substance and evidence. And if you walk by faith, not doubting, your faith will become evidence. Your faith will become substance. It became substance for the children of Israel, didn't it? Breakfast every morning for 40 years. Manna on the doorstep. It becomes substance. But you have to believe. I would think that most of you here this morning have believed that Jesus died upon the cross for your sin. And you have believed on him for salvation. You believe that you're going to heaven. Well, Psalm 103 says that he took all my iniquities in his body, and he took all my diseases on the next line. Are we going to believe some and not the rest? Are we going to dissect, bisect, and tear out some of the scriptures? Have faith in God. Faith always works. Always works. Mary and Martha weren't very sure about that fact. And they said to Jesus, if you'd only been here, my brother wouldn't have died. Jesus said, did I not say unto you that I am the resurrection and the life? I am the I am. Have you got the I am living in your heart today? The I am. And it's a beautiful verse, isn't it, when Jesus says, Lazarus, come forth. And Lazarus came forth. And then what did he say? Turned to the followers, the disciples, and he said, loose him and let him go. I believe that Jesus is saying to each one of us here this morning that I have those that I'm calling you to loose him and let him go. There are people that don't have faith, and they want you to go with your faith and believe to loose him and let him go. Jesus said, greater works than these shall you do because I go to my Father. That's the truth. Greater works than these shall you do. I don't know what you would class as greater than raising the dead, but it could be greater in quantity, couldn't it? We could do more because there are more of us. I remember one preacher saying that God was so thrilled with his son Jesus that he intends to fill the earth with people like him. Hallelujah. There was a day almost 16 years ago when I was a heavy goods driver. And on one day, I got a pain in my central chest. A severe pain. And I didn't think any more about it. And that weekend, we had a visitor from our church who happened to be an eye surgeon, a friend of ours. And we were chatting after a cup of tea, after the evening service, and inadvertently I let it slip that one day this week I'd had this pain in my central chest. If I'd have sat and contemplated a little bit that he was an eye surgeon, that he was knew a lot more about medical things than I did, like some of you do, I probably wouldn't have spilt the beans. But his face went solid when I said that. He said, you need to get to your doctor. Central chest pain? You need to go and see your doctor tomorrow morning. Will you promise, David, to go to your doctor tomorrow morning? I said, no, I won't. Because my boss is expecting me in work tomorrow morning. And I don't let him down. I'll promise to go the day after. So I made an appointment on the Monday to go and see my doctor on the Tuesday. Tuesday I got to the doctor's surgery and he said, well, you need to have an ECG examination. So he sent me to the hospital the day after for an ECG examination. And the ECG examination said, David, you've got angina. You must stop driving heavy goods vehicles. As soon as they took my license from me, my employer said, we don't have a job for you because you have no license. As soon as I lost my job, I lost my income. And I went through my savings. And I said, God, you're the only place I can go to. I need to have faith in God. I went to a private consultant, paid to see him privately, to see if he could shed a different light on the results. He said, well, I'll send you to a different hospital. He said, you went to Preston Royal for your ECG, said, I'll make an appointment for you to go to Blackpool Victoria Hospital. Different people. He said, perhaps you'll get different results. He said, I'll write them a letter and tell them that your occupation depends upon this because you need your license. So he wrote me a letter, sent it to Blackpool Victoria Hospital. I got an appointment. I went, had an exercise ECG test. They said, it is more conclusive than your last one. You have angina. And you cannot have your license back. I said, I don't believe you. I said, I've had other information. I didn't tell them that it came out of this book, which says I don't have it. They said, well, the only alternative, which we have been very reluctant to give you, is to have an angiogram. And there is risks with having an angiogram into the main artery. But that's the only alternative. So I had to wait a few weeks for the appointment to go for an angiogram. In the meantime, I went to a church where they would give an invitation for people who were sick, who wanted to be healed. And they would anoint with oil. I was the first one to the front. And they anointed me with oil. And they prayed over me. And they said, David, receive by faith. For faith is the evidence. I said, I receive healing. The next day, I felt worse. I said, I believe yesterday I received. The next day, I felt worse. I said, I believe that I received. I will not go by my senses. And the next day, I felt worse. I had deeper pain in my chest. I had them more often. I said, I believe that I was healed. And the next day, I went for an angiogram to Blackpool Victoria Hospital. When they wheeled me into the theatre, the surgeon looked at me. He said, David, you're the man that came to see me privately, aren't you? I said, yes. He said, I'm the one that is going to perform your angiogram. He performed the angiogram, disconnected the connections or whatever you call them, and said, we'll wheel you back onto the ward, and one of the staff will remove the equipment out of your artery while I carry on with the next person. They wheeled me into the ward. The surgeon came in 3 minutes later. He said, David, I don't understand this. There's nothing wrong with your heart. There's nothing wrong with your arteries. And you don't have any angina. And you can have your license back on Monday. He said, you can come off your medication today. I said, are there no withdrawal? Can I stop immediately? He said, yes. The medication you're on, it's okay to come off it immediately. I came off medication and my symptoms stopped. The connection was that the chemicals in the medication was giving me symptoms that wanted me to doubt my healing when I had been healed, and I was getting symptoms from the medication. And as soon as I stopped the medication, my faith demonstrated. The faith became evidence. The faith became substance. Friends, this morning, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. There are things happening this morning in this church that you cannot see. But God is doing things for you. And he says, have faith in God. Have the faith of God this morning. Believe him. He not only died for you to take your sin, he died to take your sickness. He died to take your poverty. He died to set you free from the curse. And if you want to know what he did for you, you read Deuteronomy chapter 28. And the blessings of the Lord will be upon you. We had some friends at our house on Thursday evening. And with this I close. They are just ordinary people. Very ordinary, like ourselves. He's gone out to work for the most of his life. Man, a little bit younger than myself. In the last 20 years, he and his wife have been the founders of 4 children's homes. One in Brazil, one in Philippines. I may need help. Burma, India, Philippines, and somewhere else. Just by following what God led him to do. And I had a particular issue that I wanted his advice on. I wanted his opinion. And as they were leaving, he said, I want to leave you with something, David. A step of faith, he said, is always a step into the light, not a step into the darkness. God is light. And if you'll go hand in hand with God and have faith in God, it's always a step into the light. This morning I invite you, will you have faith in God? Shall we pray together? Father, we thank you for your goodness to us. We thank you for your provision. We give you thanks this morning that you have provided everything we need for life and for godliness and given it to us. You have given to each one of us the measure of faith. And so this morning we come and humbly say, Father, we pledge that we will live by faith. For faith worketh through love. Come, help us to love one another. Help us to forgive. Help us to fulfill the laws, the spiritual laws, that we will live by faith from this day forth. In Jesus' name, amen.